It's a different morning, and I believe God will bless you. You would not leave the same way you came. God will add value unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. Quickly, if you are 12 and below, we have made arrangements for you at the children's church. Can you just stand up? Where is Ishe Oluwa? Where are you? Okay. 12 and below, just meet with Ishe Oluwa now. She will take you there. Don't worry, your children are safe and they will have a nice time in the next 1 hour. 12 and below, just meet with her. So, you're welcome again to this town hall session. It's a session that God has prepared speakers. You know, it's a question that you come to onboarding. You know, you come to onboarding, you come to ask questions, and I believe that our speakers are ready for you. You know, your homes will not remain the same again after this session. In the mighty name of Jesus. Quickly, the first one we're introducing is Reverend Mike and Reverend Funke Rabo. Both are retired. They're retired. But looking at them, when you see them, you know they're not tired. After 3 decades. I think decade is 10 years, Abby. So 10 times 3 is what? 30 years. Wow. I'm good in mathematics. They have been married for 32 beautiful years. Let's clap for the Lord. And their union is blessed with 5 wonderful children. It will surprise you to know that they are grandparents too. They serve at NCC where they both got born again 35 years ago. And they have been leading the NCC Felele Center for over 20 years. Please welcome with me Reverend Mike and Reverend Funke Rabo. Let's keep clapping. Let's keep clapping. We'll not be tired. Thank you. Sir, sit down here. Ma, sit down here. God bless you. There's a woman that I like her so much. I've stayed on her administration 2 times. And she blessed me so much. She's a developmental psychologist from the University of Badon. And she's CEO of Unique Minds Development Foundation. Her interest is in adolescence and emerging adult issues, parenting. And she's also a married coach. She's married with children. I want you to welcome with me Dr. Buki Bada. Don't stop clapping. Don't stop clapping. It's good exercise. Pa, 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 pa. My reverend doesn't want introduction. He's our leader here. He's a set man God has put over this ministry. And let me tell you something. He's also a very successful businessman. And a successful married man too. That's his wife here, Elder Yemisi Ige. And they have fantastic children too. God bless you. Please, can I have Olumide, can you take this? And we don't have speakers for our mics for our speakers. Because they're bringing them, okay? So, starting from Dr. Bada, in two or three sentences, what's your definition of an ideal family, Christian family? Two or three sentences, that means in about a minute. So it's going to go around after you, Reverend Mrs. Irabo, Reverend Irabo then, Reverend Ege would also. Two, three sentences, your definition of a Christian ideal family.
Praise the Lord. Two or three sentences. Give glory to God. I'll say it's a family where we have father, mother, children, with the peace of God reigning in the home. That's what I would say, it's an ideal family. There could be, you know, alteration in some way, but the ideal general one is where the peace of God is reigning. Thank you very much.
Where the peace of God is reigning. Thank you so much. Ma.
Thank you so much. In addition to what she has said, where the word of God takes preeminence, no matter what happens, no matter how you feel, no matter the emotional turbulence, the word of God takes preeminence.
Where the word of God takes preeminence. Great. Sir.
To further add to what we said, an ideal Christian family is that in which the children are taught to have their own personal relationship with God by the fact that they see it in their parents. So an ideal Christian family is not a religious family. It's a family built on vibrant, growing relationship with God.
Not a religious family. Wow. Thank you so much. Sir.
An ideal Christian family, Genesis 18 from 18 to 19. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Ideal Christian family. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and he shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken.
Thank you so much. So, what you are saying, that a lot of families, parents is, do what I say, not do what I do. Huh? Thank you so much, sir. God bless you. You would have the opportunity to ask questions. Please, one of the things we told the children to go there, so you'll be free. If you don't have the boldness or the confidence, you can put it in a sheet of paper, write in a sheet of paper, and then give it to one of the ushers. They will pass it across. But we are first of all going to the singlehood. Let me start with you, ma'am. Is there anything like true love? Does it exist?
To the glory of God, it exists.
Okay, can you shed some light? 2 minutes.
When we talk about true love, where such a question should start from is, what is the relationship of that person who actually wants to know about true love? What is the relationship of that person with Christ? Because true love can only be found in God. Such an individual, does he or she truly have that genuine relationship with God? Because most of the issues we have nowadays, people want to enjoy the benefit of God, but most of his commandments, most of his ordinances, we want to boycott them, but we want to enjoy most of these things. You want to enjoy the presence of God. How much of this God do we actually have in us? We are emerging adults, you know, we are growing every day, each and every day. Most people, where the problem actually lies, that we don't actually have that personal relationship with God, whereby he speaks to us, we hear from him. And I want to assure you, God still speaks.
Thank you very much. God still speaks. Reverend Mrs. Irabo, this is a tough one. Is there a formula, an equation, to know the perfect person for me? And should you be looking for a perfect person? Is there anyone that is perfect?
Only God is perfect. Well, concerning relationships and looking for a perfect person, I think we should put it this way. When you get your acts right with God, you will have somebody for you according to his agenda, according to his own plan. That person may not fit your scorecard, may not fit what you have laid down. You know, but God in his own infinite wisdom has somebody for you that will be perfect for you, but in his own way. Because he went from the beginning. And apart from that, he has a plan for you. So the best way to go about it is to subject yourself to God and say, Lord, show me the way. This is what I want, but I table it at the feet of the cross.
Thank you so much. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 17 says, when Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, this is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people. Saul was God's choice, but he failed. Does God's choice mean, does it guarantee success? God's choice for your partner, for marriage? Oh, I had it very clear. This is who God has said I should marry. Does it guarantee success?
It does, if you do it the way God wants. I think what most of us fail to realize is that in God's will for our lives, we have a part to play. Most people go to sleep. Oh, this is God's choice for me. I'm just using that marriage as an example. Since God said we should get married, then should I put in any effort? We do. Because even if we relate it basically to giving our lives to Christ, when you give your life to Christ, you have done God's will. It's God's choice for you. But you have to grow. Colossians 1, I've forgotten the verse, says, if you have to continue in the grace, or else you'll fall by the wayside. So I think that's a lot, that's where many of us miss it. We are looking for a quick fix. Because God has said, this is my beloved. Then, okay, since I'm there, just serve me. I don't need to do anything. You are God's choice for me. No. What is my role in that which God has designed for my life?
And marriage is hard work. We know that.
But you say marriage is hard work?
Sure.
Can you give us 2 minutes talk on that? Or 1 minute?
Ah, man. 2 minutes is not enough.
No, I mean, summarize it in 1 minute.
All right. Well, it's okay. Yeah, because like I was saying, you need an effort. I mean, you need to understand that marriage, even though we have a manual, but we also have our flesh. Marriage is the greatest thing to get one heaven ready. Meaning that so many things will make you even want to turn against God or against God's word in marriage, because you are dealing with a height of emotional relationship that is in no other relationship than marriage, where you will want something and you are dealing with somebody who has come from a different background. It's like when you get married, you just have a vacant plot. Then you start asking what they go through. It's hard work.
Thank you so much. Reverend Bola Egizan, last week you gave a fantastic sermon. Responsibility brings privileges. Character of relationship. Can you summarize it in 1 minute? Responsibility begets privileges and benefits. So as a single person, what can you advise them? What should they be responsible for?
I can only give my own example. When I was single and I was unmarried and I had a relationship with my wife, you know, when we were praying to go for youth call, I can just look at this incident. My wife said, wherever God sends me, I will go. I told myself, I said, I wanted to do my youth call in Lagos because I don't want to live wherever in Nigeria. So I was posted to Lagos. My wife was posted to Kano. We were in a relationship. When she was going to Kano, I followed her. When she got to Kano and we drove, I entered the next bus to Ibadan. We were not married. I was on the sewing machine at Mokola. I had in my hair, go to Kano now. I dropped the machine. I went to Kano. I took the next bus to Kano, night bus. The following day, Riambonki riot began. Thank God I went to Kano. Ask her. Responsibility. Even before you got married. So I've been responsible. Even before we had our children, we have defined responsibility. I said in this marriage, I don't want a 50-50. If it is possible, I want to do 100. So if that's what responsibility is all about, it's about the fact that you want to be as responsible as you can ever be. It doesn't matter what comes next.
Thank you so much. Now, I can entertain one question. Anybody, any single or anyone wants to ask a question? Anybody? Not yet. Okay. So, we'll go to courtship. Reverend, I'm starting with you, sir. How do I know, is there a right time to marry? Is there a time for marriage? And let me say this. I got married in 1996. My best man in 1996 got married last year. And I was his best man. But sincerely speaking, I felt that that was the time for him to marry. If he had married 2 years earlier, I'm sure it would have been a failure. So, sir, is there a time, a right time for marriage?
The question you ask, you have answered the question yourself. There's a right time to marry.
Can you shed some light on that, sir?
You see, I think, you know, sometimes when people think about marriage, especially Christian marriage, because of course, you don't touch each other, you think, people marry for wrong reasons. So they are not psychologically prepared, emotionally prepared, financially prepared. Even maturity is important. Because like I told those people yesterday, in another 3 or 4 months, they don't have more than that. If God blessed you with children, the woman is pregnant. If you are not psychologically prepared, men will start acting up. Because she's vomiting, just go to hospital. And this is what none of that bargain for. And he's not going to say it. It's body language you say it. So usually, most of the time, there is a time to be married. And that's what I believe we should be counseling people about.
Reverend Rabo, sir, is age a consideration? Because I know that age puts pressure.
Yes.
So is age a consideration for marriage?
Age becomes a consideration when the person's age is commensurate with his level of maturity. You can be 40 and be immature. The way you act, one will think you are 19. But you know, culturally in our society, age is the factor that even most parents consider, oti 40, oti mu yawa. Someone who is 40 who is not prepared. Someone who is 40 who is still tied to his mom's apron strings. Someone who is 40 who can't decide on his own. He depends on his friends to tell him what to do. Now brings in a woman who is looking up to him for leadership. Forget it. So age should not be the major consideration, especially when we're talking about a Christian marriage.
Sir, you've handled it from the side of the guys. What about the ladies? Considering that the body clock is ticking, should age be a consideration for marriage?
Yeah, I shall answer. Okay. No. I mean, we have to handle different cases. When you're rushing, you rush out. I mean, people have been damaged emotionally and psychologically I'm talking about women now. Women are damaged because of marriage, because of not taking enough time to know that the responsibility for a woman is heavy. Help meet who is supposed to submit. It's not an easy thing, because we human beings, when I don't know, this is cutting.
Please, can I get another mic for?
We're not cut out to just submit to another human being like that. So it takes the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to cede your life to another person. You have your desires, you have your plans and everything. So if you don't allow God to work on you to an extent, even though when you get married, the work goes on, but there is, you know, a preparation. Yes, let me put it that way. That is necessary for any woman. So if you are thinking of age alone, it's good to think of age, but if that is the only focus, you will miss out on the other things you need to get done, or you need God to work in you before you get married. So my take on this is, submit yourself to God and let God work on you to an extent. You will know when you are ready to take on that responsibility of a help meet, helping another person's vision to succeed.
Thank you so much. Dr. Bada. Heartbreaks. I am aware of a friend of mine that courted someone for about 11 years. And all of a sudden, she says she's not doing anymore. Several years ago, 11 years, 11 wasted years. That kind of a person, you know, can the person totally commit to another relationship? Would you advise? Heartbreaks. After heartbreaks, some people might not be 11 years, but 2 years, you've invested your emotions, you invested your time, your resources, and all of a sudden, the guy says, I'm moving on. How do you commit to another relationship going through that kind of pain?
Thank you very much. Heartbreak is not something that's very easy. But there's something that will come up at the end of the day. There is a time for healing. Most times, especially, you know, I said it the other time, because we are children of God, then when we look at it very well, majority of, you know, relationship that ends up in situations like that, that's why I said, at the beginning of that relationship, well, what have God said? Have they really, you know, there are some fundamental, you know, errors that we ourselves as an individual, it has been done. Well, there's one Yoruba did, I'm very sorry, or something, most of these things, we children of God, we shy away from our responsibility. I said this sometime, there is nothing that we can iron out. That's our personal relationship with God. It goes a long way. What has God said at the beginning of that relationship? If it's going to be a lasting one, there are so many people that will marry. It might not be more than 3-4 years or something. But you'll be fulfilled. It's not until, you know, several things are happening. But peradventure, an individual finds yourself in such a relationship. One, you have Christ. Give it time. You will heal. And at the end of the day, it's better you tell God, why not settle me full and final? It's not a God. When it's cooking, jail in your bed. As long as you know you and this your God, he has a way of settling you, and peace will be your portion. So just give it time. Such an individual will heal and he will stand on a good ground.
You want to say something?
Yeah. Okay, so, quickly. I mean, what she's saying is stop trial and error. Because, I mean, trial and error will lead to heartbreak. So if you've had it once, now say, God, I want to get it right.
No trial and error. Wow.
Okay. People even go to the extent of doing permutation. They put the mask. Okay, you know all these funny things the single people
hello,
do.
Hello.
It's good. Yeah. You are at the end
like
of the day.
Many money more.
And it doesn't, you know.
It becomes just really.
You know, for your specific question, and let me be honest with you, I don't know if you are children of God or not. If you are in a relationship for 11 years, and somebody says not doing it again, you will be having the filler. You can be lying to yourself. I'm telling you, the truth of the case is this. Let me be honest with you. There is so much lie and hypocrisy that is in the heart of the sons of men. Do you know what is called truth? People don't say absolute truth, though. They color truth the way they want the truth to be colored. The truth of the case is this. You are in a relationship for 11 years, you are a human being, you will know that's not going to work along the line. You may be faking it, you may be praying it, you may be fasting it, you may be pushing it, you know. So it did not come by as an accident.
Thank you, sir. Because when you mentioned that, you know, one thing people fail to realize, you know, in a relationship, I said there are roles, you have roles to play. There are rules, there are responsibilities, there are rewards, and there are repercussions.
5 hours.
Yes. In any relationship.
Stop. Now, go through again. Roles.
Yeah, the role I have to play.
Yes.
The rules that govern the relationship. You know, the rules that govern the relationship between a brother and sister is different from that between a husband and wife.
Yes.
So there are rules per relationship.
Yes.
There are responsibilities. There are rewards. And there are repercussions.
Please take note.
So, thank God for what Reverend Uge said, because it came to my mind. If you're in a relationship for 11 years, the two of you have an issue of true commitment. You can't be saying, I will marry you.
I'll marry you.
I caught you. 11 years?
11 years.
Something is wrong. One of you is afraid of commitment. And it means, like he said, the other person is ignoring those red flags. Until finally, I gave you signal, oh God. I did this, oh Lord. I'm not doing it again.
Okay. Anybody bold enough to ask a question now? You want? Can I get a mic for my go here?
Thank you very much. When we're talking about roles and responsibilities, and Mrs. Irabo had mentioned the issue of submission, I just want to ask, where do we put God in it? When you talked about submission, you, as a woman, talked about how hard it is for women to submit. But frankly, it's meant to be hard. Because if we look at Genesis 3 and verse 16, when God was giving judgment, He caused the serpent. He caused the woman. You remember that God did not cause man. He caused the ground. But let's go to Genesis 3:16. It says, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. It was amplified by Paul when he was talking about submit, though he did say one to another. But God didn't say man would submit to woman. In Genesis 3. So my question is, should the women not gleefully bear their punishment, the curse from God? Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Oh well. Frankly, I don't even see submission. You see, it takes God. If you are in the flesh, it is like punishment. But once you are able to key into the spirit. Personally, I don't see submission as punishment. I see it as a beautiful role. That is because I'm in Christ too. I see it as a beautiful role created. I see him as somebody who God has given to love me and to lead me. Submission is not in a vacuum. Submission is not in a vacuum. God just didn't say, oh yeah, woman, go and submit. There's a strategy for submission. God has given me a man who is to lead and love, for me to help and submit roles. I see, you see, when women fight for, what do you call it now?
Equality or something.
Equality or liberation. I say, I'm not, what do I want to deliver myself from? I'm enjoying my role, honestly. But I'm not under any bondage, so what am I delivering myself from? It takes perspective, and I'm speaking from the depth of my heart. He knows. See, when I was working in the secular, whatever, I was telling, if I get a promotion, if I get a raise, my mindset is that it is because of him that I've gotten it. Not that because I'm such a good person, I'm so... It's like the way God has made it, and that's why I'm enjoying so much love from him. You know, sometimes I look at him and I say, guy, you are cool. You are so loving. You are so... And I mean it. And I don't know, maybe he will mention, but right from my, even my children, they say, mom, anything we ask you, you will say, let me ask daddy first. And I do it because I know submission is protective. I always say that a woman who does not submit is like a woman driving a car on a fast lane, on a high express road with no brake. What will happen?
It will crash.
I know what the manual says. And I choose to follow the manual. I don't see it as even a punishment. I see it as a protection. I see it as a guide. I see it as something I can enjoy. When women submit, you are good to go.
Okay. Good answer.
Actually, God did not curse the woman. He cursed the serpent and told the woman that you're going to have pain at childbirth. But the serpent was cursed. God did not really cause the woman. But you see, I like she said, remember in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the first thing he said, submitting yourself one to another. Because at times your wife is the one that has the superior argument. Ask my wife. Actually, I think, I can't say my wife listens to me more than I listen to her. Because you know, I've recognized some gift in her, some capacities in her. When she says something about an issue, you better believe it. It's going to happen. If I choose not to go in that direction, so help me God.
You will suffer for it. You will suffer for it, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ma'am.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to also mention that this issue of submission doesn't mean you don't have a voice. Marriage is teamwork, and it is based on the Bible. Sarah, the epitome of submission, she had a voice. In fact, God said, listen to the voice of your wife, Sarah, concerning the issue of Hagar. So, I mean, it's not that you're a doormat, but just know that you have a leader. So it's not that you take over, but, you know, make your opinion known, be helpful for the vision, you know, and also the husband is not supposed to be like a controller, because he's a lover and a leader, not a controller. A controller is the boss. Afashewa, when I say you must not talk, that is oppression. Your wife is not a slave, your wife is your helper. So once we get it right, submission will flow, like she was also mentioning to me.
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. Just imagine, your wife is your helper. Just imagine you are not getting the help. How will you get to your destination?
Thank you so much. We can flog submission for the next 3 weeks. I think I have a question there, right? Yes, please. You have a question too? Okay, quickly. Our time is running out.
Yeah, good morning. Talking about consideration about age, I know in medicine there's something called menopause. And when a woman gets to that age, she may not be able to have babies again. What? Because I have a friend who is now 42. And with the way she's going, she will reach her menopause before she gets married. And So what should be done to that? Because it's a real thing. Then pastor said the other time when he was talking that you will know the truth from the beginning, that you can be fasting it, praying it, and doing all sorts, but you know the truth. Is fasting and praying about it, does it not solve the issue? When you are fasting and praying about it, when you know the issue.
Okay.
When you are fasting and praying about it, does
okay.
it not solve the issue?
Okay, okay. Thank you very much. God bless you. Take the first and then Reverend will take the... So give the mic to this young man too.
Praise the Lord. Talking about the issue of many of us, you know, most times we do our own calculation, leaving God outside of it. When you're talking about somebody who's 42, we have seen on social media people who are 55, 60, and they still, you know, give back to children. God works in miraculous ways. Then the percentage of people you are talking about, they are even not, you know, is not on the general consideration. There are some exceptional cases. And that is why there is even something they call it psychology. This personality is you. You are unique in your own way. I am unique in my own way. The way God will deal with you is different from the way God will deal with me. Then there is even something in marriage. This issue of marriage that we are talking about, it is a sealed envelope. It's not left to us because the word of the Lord says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It now depends on you. It depends on your own level of relationship with the Almighty God. It will settle you at its own time, and everything will become beautiful.
Thank you.
I want to put it in context. Said somebody was in a relationship for 11 years. So that was why I said, when you are fasting, look, if somebody does not like you, like your face, you can fast the kingdom come. It doesn't mean the person will like your face. If you commit your life to somebody that does not like your face, you are a young lady, the man is shouting at you, is stopping you, don't talk, don't do something. If you fast and pray to the kingdom come, he will still do the same thing. Exactly. Even worse when you get married.
Quickly.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. My question is linked to submission. Where I was going to ask the question before, in the Bible, it says a wife should be a helpmeet. Now, the greatest challenges we have in marriage now is finance. Mm-hmm. When there's an issue with finance, for instance, the man is out of work, and even from training, the wives, the women, the ladies are already trained as independent people. Yeah, you must read, you must go to school, you must have your own job. And then in marriage, when the issue now comes, when the man is no longer the breadwinner, and the woman starts taking the role, and the man is saying no, where does the woman stand when she becomes the breadwinner in a house?
Mrs. Rabo, can you take that?
Where does the woman stand when she becomes the breadwinner? If she stops submitting, let me say it this way, it's a symptom of an issue. It's not the issue. Is a symptom of an issue of our relationship with God. If she stops submitting because the guy is out of work, am I communicating? So it's like she needs to realign herself. It's tough now. One day it will get better, you know. But also, if the man now gets laid back, it's also the issue is now also his relationship with God. Anyway, she can do it. No. And if you still keep on putting effort, they'll come together as a team. How are we going to sort out this issue? So, bottom line is that a woman who now takes the place of the breadwinner will be for a season. It can't be forever. And they come together, you know, to make their home, you know, still be at peace. Because it's not, she's a helper. So she's helping to fill in the gap. It's not that she's now the Lord and Master because of money. Am I communicating? Yeah. So, mindset.
Okay. After that.
I just want to add this. You see, when I started asking that question, what occurred to me is, what was the foundation for the relationship before they got married. You know, we said marriage is hard work. When you check the Bible, when you check men of faith that we look onto in the Bible, look at the crisis they went through in marriage. You are talking of financial situation. What of if there is delay in childbearing? There are challenges that the two of you must learn to work together to overcome. The issue is we are dealing with an issue, we are not attacking ourselves. So some of us as men, you know, because of our fragile ego, we easily become emasculated, we easily feel inferior. When this woman is rising, you know, will she submit? You are the one who has an issue. If you truly are one in Christ, the money she earns is our money. The money you earn is our money. But as I said, if we fail to understand our roles and the rules that govern this, that's why we have so many issues like that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So let's go to marriage proper. Questions on marriage proper. You know, we celebrate weddings. We had one yesterday. It was glorious. It was fantastic. And I mean, I felt like getting married again. I mean, doing it again, you know, the couple they were very beautiful, you know. But see, the wedding ceremonies, it doesn't matter. The journey starts yesterday. They married proper. Now, the question I'm asking now is, can love sustain marriage? Can love, will love sustain marriage? Is love enough for the success of your union? Who's going to answer that? Okay, let me start with you.
Praise the Lord. We give glory to God. Love goes a long way in sustaining the marriage. As I've said before. Taking, for example, those who got married yesterday. That is the beginning, as you have just said. You know, all this relationship, all the chicken and cheese and everything, I love you and everything. The real love and everything starts there yesterday. Because a lot of our personality and our character starts to unfold. There are some things you will see in the first 2 weeks, the first 1 or 2 weeks of marriage. You begin to wonder, if you are not actually sure you have heard from God, you will feel like pulling out. Because by then, you know, you've seen your nakedness and everything. There are more times when we are in a relationship, there are some things. There is one thing, there's a lot of packaging. But by the time we are in fully, we now see the real reality. When I got married, you know, all this pampering and everything, I went to market, Bodija. Only, you know, as a woman, you won't want to just pick. He was expecting that I would just get their price, 1,000, so 3,000, so what? No, me, I went inside. By the time he came back, he shouted on me for the first time. I started crying. I've never cried when we were in courtship and everything. You know, I started saying, you know, and he himself, I think he did that and said, you know. But at the end of the day, to the glory of God, I'm still small, but I'm looking at 20 years very soon. So, love goes a long way. The reason I'm saying it is that you will offend each other. You will offend each other. But the love of God in the life of both, you know, in the life of the individual, will make you to forgive. You forgive and keep forgiving. Even the Bible says, how many times can we offend each other? And it's only a madman that we offend you 70 times, 7 times in a day. You know, so marriage is a long way. We need love to sustain it. Sir.
So what are the other ingredients? Thank you so much. Other ingredients apart from love. Sir, you want to say something?
You need commitment. You need care. When you offend each other, you have to have a conversation around it. Don't say, forgive me, I forgive you. No. There's a reason, there's a background for what happened. You can tell him your own views and he can tell you our own views. I say, they say love is blind, but marriage is open eyes. When people fall in love, they will rise up in marriage. We are talking about, and God designed it like that actually.
And God knows that we have challenges in marriage. We are a creature of habits. Somebody grew up from somewhere else. They have their characteristics at home. The man or the woman have formed the habit. The other person grew up somewhere. God brought you here. Brought you together. He knows that you will have crisis issues. Personality issues. And you know what happened? That is why when you are successful in marriage, you are likely to be able to serve God better.
Thank you. This is the Rabbi. Our time is fast spent. You know, there are so many sparks in marriages today. And sparks. You know, so many disagreements. People are suffering. And initially you said you handled a lot of cases. People are hurting. You know, marriages are hurting. What's the formula for reviving it? Can you revive? Can you renovate? Can you build again? How?
One just has to be intentional about it. There are so many things. Once the mind is ready to do it, I keep on telling people that God has given us the power of choice. If your mind is made up, no matter how bad the marriage is, even if there's infidelity, once you make up your mind, that's how God created us. We are not robots. We are not robots. We are not just programmed. We ourselves have a responsibility to choose. So if you choose that you want that marriage to succeed, there are so many strategies. We're giving some somewhere, we're speaking yesterday, to women. So I'll start from, because we are different. So I'll start from your mind. If you make up your mind, you want your marriage to work, it will work. There are books to read, there are counsels to take, there's therapy to go for, no matter what your case is like. If you want it to work, it will work. And I want to add again, concerning that issue of love, we should also get it right. There's the love, worldly love. That one is just chemical reaction. It will come, it will go. In fact, it will disappear in marriage. What is left is commitment.
Thank you so much. Quickly, I want to take this one in 1 minute. Reverend Mike Rabo. My spouse abuses me mentally, emotionally, verbally, and physically.
Bring in a third party.
Okay.
Simple. Because just like I said, some of us, when I say some of us, some men are childish, very mature. And you know, if you are childish and maybe your wife offends you, or like the case of my brother, maybe your wife is earning more than you and you have, it's impinging on your ego. That's why you're bandy. Get out! I'm like, I know shaking. Verbal, because it's a sign that he himself is insecure. And if the wife cannot get through, you see, again, like Dr. Bada said, some of these things are foundational. Reverend Ige said it. You, before you got married, you are noticing some things in this guy. I will change him. Well, get no one, no human being has the power to change any other person. It is only God. And so when we are talking about love, I just want to bring this in. In an abusive relationship, Jesus is missing, because love is a person. Jesus is love. If Jesus is missing in the home, forget. So to me, the counsel is seek help.
Thank you so much. Is love, is marriage more important than my mental health?
Is marriage more
important than my mental health?
Praise the Lord.
Do you understand the question?
Yes. I know. I think what I want to say is that there is a link between the two. For your mental health to be intact, the marriage must be right. Just as Daddy said, the issue of all this physical, verbal and everything. You know, when he said it, I was saying in my mind, if an individual is experiencing any form of verbal, physical, speak out. Because most of us, we die under the web of we are married, we must not divorce. There is something in law, they call it judicial separation. To glory of God, I'm married to a lawyer, so I know some of these little things. Please speak out. That is the reason why we have a lot of women and men stabbing each other. By the time they speak out, things have gone, you know, the other way around. If any woman or any man is in any abusive relationship, please speak out and let the right thing be done. You can never say marriage is important than your mental health, because it takes your mental health to be intact when you are in a good relationship.
Thank you very much. You know, several years ago, when we just got married, when we used to have issues, you know, I probably would not talk to her for days. Then, in the morning, she will be taking a bath. The bathroom window is beside the window of the room. I'll be sleeping, and I'll be hearing her talking. She's talking to herself. Mama, wonder if this woman in the bathroom. Talumba saw the bathroom. Mental health.
It's already been tortured.
You know, but later when I asked her, she said that was how she got her sanity. That she needed to talk to herself in the morning to rewind herself. You can imagine if that thing continued. If it continued, a lot of women and even men are in the psychiatry world today. You know. Now, quickly, because of our time, Reverend, the age is different. We're in the age of technology. How do I monitor my children, even in this digital age? You know, there's a lot hidden in technology, and parents are not technologically inclined, so there's a disconnect. So quickly, we're moving to parenting because of our time.
You can't monitor them if you are not technologically inclined. You have to unlearn and relearn. Let me tell you something, training up children is a terrible hard work. As in hard work. One of the hardest work I've done in my life is training children.
Yes, quickly, man.
There's an app. If the children have gone to terrible sites and they know you check their phone, there's an app. They just shake the phone like this. You won't see anything.
You know that one. Do you know that one? Do you know that one, sir?
You have to be technologically savvy in this time event.
Thank you so much. So we have a lot of work to do. Now, Mrs. Irabo, how can I be close to my children and still instill some level of discipline in them?
There's a very thin line, because children can be very naughty. When you are close with them, they take it for granted, but it takes the grace of God. You just have to be close with them. Just part of this, it's hard work, like you said. It's part of what I say about being technologically savvy. Get interested in what they're interested in. That is how you can get under their skin and be able to correct where necessary. You know, don't ignore. Don't even tell them to stop doing something, but get involved. Then you can correct. You can understand their way of thinking. You know, you can be up to date. So, you just have to be. I have 4 girls and a boy. But I enjoy talking to them. I talk their language. When we are texting, I use those funny. So, you just don't. If you are like with the cane, the cane is necessary. But if you are like with the cane all the time, they will hide from you. You won't know what is going on. Don't say don't bring your friend. Bring your friend. It is when you know them that you can, you know, correct them. Talk to, be friends with their friends.
Yes. Okay, Reverend. Then you talk. Okay.
Can I say before I like the way he rounds things up. Yeah. One thing about parenting, and I think I might be wrong, but I think we fathers don't put in enough effort because it's hard work. Go and meet your mother. We want to be parents, and we want substitute parents to help us raise up our children. When you come to church, go to training section. When you go to school, hey, Joe, have you done your work? Yeah, that's enough. When the boy or girl now, hey, daddy, look, I'm tired. I beg. How? When they are now old enough for you to desire a conversation, you don't have common ground anymore. So I think this is where our wife, because she helps me too. I'm like that. I tell even my kids, I said, phone conversations, I'm very bad at phone conversations. I like to talk with people face to face. But even if it is a WhatsApp video, after 5 minutes, so I'll add it to your mom. So we need to truly, yes, you help.
Okay, sir. You know, if your children, if they are from like 1 to 10 years, the training, maybe you can do a few things. When your children are above 10 to like 17, it's a different ballgame. When your children are in their early or late 20s, they have become your friend though, if you've done a good job. And at that time, there is nothing like training. There is a conversation of friendship. You influence them and they influence you. For example, we went to check my daughter in school. She was ill and they came. I was investigating. I said, oh, who did this one? I said, somebody, one guy brought food for me. I quickly crammed the name of the guy. I crammed the name immediately. My wife said, when he comes, my wife said, did you remember the name? I said, I will not remember what. You know, I was driving the other time. My son called me and I said, I'm driving. I said, daddy, when is it that when I want to talk to you now, you are telling me that you are driving. Is something not wrong somewhere? I said, no, he said, because the traffic is clumsy. I don't want anybody. He said, now I can understand. You have to be close to each other.
And then, okay, you want to say something?
Yeah, and you know, I just remember something I did. One of my daughters said, this guy was interested in her. Okay, what's his name? I Googled the name. Everything about him on Twitter or Facebook, and I downloaded to her. She was like, Mom?
Yes.
My wife will have done that. Anybody. Google the family, Google the name, Google Facebook. My wife will Google everything, all the information inside this world.
One thing I also understand is that, you see, the little babies, the little children, as early as 5, 6, they take advantage of your disconnect, your disunity. When they see that mommy and daddy are not united, they take advantage of it. They use it to their own, you see. But even when they see that they are united, they still use it though. Because my son, when he was young, so he would not go to the mother for anything. He comes to me. Daddy, I want this. I will give it to him. But later on, I realized that this boy is using my head. He doesn't go to the mom. Okay. So when he comes, there was a day he came. He said he wanted something. I said, go to your mom. He did not go. He now waited another 2 hours. He came back again. He said, I said, go to your mom and ask her. He did not go there. The third time that he came, and I said, go to your mom. He just passed. Every time, go to your mom. Is mommy more powerful than you? So we must be united, husband and wives. Quickly, our time is past spent. 1 minute, parting shot. What advice would you give this teeming audience? Some are singles, some are in courtship, a few are married, a few, a lot are parents. 1 minute, parting shot for them.
Praise the Lord. I would just advise us, let's increase our personal relationship with God. It will have a link with our children, it will have a link with our husband, it will have a link with our wife. Then we'll enjoy everlasting peace.
Thank you so much.
What I also want to add, that we have tasted and proved is make God your priority. It affects every area. Business, children, whatever. It may not be so easy, but when you are committed, sometimes it may be like routine, but something is happening. You are consistent in seeking the Lord. You are consistent in reading the word, in meditating, in fasting, in praying. You are consistent. God is faithful. He owes no man.
Thank you, ma.
Yeah, I'll just read Jeremiah 9:23-24, which is my own parting shot. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. That's my parting
shot. So, Reverend, after your parting shot, you close for us.
Please, I want you to make up your mind when you wake up any day not to hurt anybody. Please, I don't care who the person is. That's the life of Christ that we are talking about. Especially your wife. Can you imagine? What am I going to tell my daughter? What do I wish for my daughter? My wife is somebody else's daughter. And I'm not taking care of her. Just imagine that I have a girl and she's wishing not to marry somebody like her dad. That's failure. I don't care which business success in life, oh. I don't care what you attain, oh. That your daughter can be praying not to marry somebody like you. You have failed in life. That's it. And your sons are praying not to marry somebody like their mom. It's failure. And that's it. Please, please, and please. You wake up in the morning, you don't want to hurt anybody. You want to make people happy. When you have done wrong, you want to ask for forgiveness. When people have, even when people don't ask for forgiveness, forgive them up front. You know what? I love my peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Shall we rise up to pray this morning? Sir, please pray for us, sir.
Let's pray. Eshe Oluwa. Eshe Baba o, Eshe Oluwa, awa dupe baba. Indeed, from the depths of our heart, we want to say thank you for this meeting. Thank you for the impact that it has had on our lives, those of us who were like the panelists and the audience. Thank you for your spirit present here to remind us of things we thought we knew, to help us review things we thought we were familiar with. And thank you for the new path, for the new vision, for the new horizon you have given some of us here. Father, we are grateful. This is an evidence of your love for us, and we are eternally grateful. Thank you, our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name I pray.